Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast you need for white boy summer. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. The Crunch is a podcast where Ethan and I, two buds who've been palling around for about 7 years, sit down for a conversation that's about a Catholic topic, but it's mostly about jokes. This is a comedy podcast. We think that more people should have conversations like this one, and we're glad you're here. Ethan, how's your week been inside?
I am in white boy summer.
Is it summer? It's not. Like, Memorial Day is tomorrow.
Today, this episode comes out on the eve, on Memorial Day Eve, which means that we are in the midst of the window, the portal, where America transitions from spring to summer.
Yes.
You are stepping through the portal now, right now, as you listen to this. How does it feel? Uh-huh. Can you feel it surging through your bones and your blood?
Can you feel the juices? Just feel the summertime.
Can you feel the energy coursing through your veins?
Doesn't it smell like Mai Tais and sunscreen?
Ooh, two baby. Pina coladas, one for each hand.
Ooh. Ooh. Doesn't it smell like a nice dog slapped on the public access grill at the park? Well, a hot dog. Hot dog.
Just a nice. Can you smell the power of a nice wet dog sitting down next to you?
A greasy weenie
after a dip in the lake.
Oh man, we can't swim in the lake at the park anymore. Growing up, Wickham Park, we would go there for camp, and we would have like swim lessons in the lake. It was a lake in the middle of the park. And as the summers went on, it was like one summer we couldn't go in, and the next summer we could, but we had to get like a spray in our ear to like get rid of the algae.
Slowly but surely
it became like we should not be swimming in this lake. And so now like the park was definitely set up for people to go swimming in this lake. Like there's pavilions around the lake, and there's like a beach area they made.
Ethan, I have a question. Yes. Why don't they? Why? So it seems to me more difficult to spray a bunch of 8-year-olds in the ear rather than just take whatever that is and put it in the lake. Why are we spraying the kids?
You can't put it in the lake because it'll kill things.
Why can't we dump chemicals in the lake, Patrick?
I think the chemicals in the lake are the problem, actually. It was causing algae to reproduce faster than the fish could consume it.
I don't care what Pope Francis says about the environment. Kids need to swim in the lake. Kill the algae, poison the water, get them in there.
I think honestly the problem might have been that they tried some kind of method to get rid of the wildlife that lived in the lake so that it was easier for kids to swim in it. However, turns out God put that there for a reason. Turns out the minnows in the lake served a purpose.
So they poisoned the water, so the spray in your ear was like a re-poison.
Like an antidote. Exactly. Yeah.
To counteract, it's kind of like the coronavirus when you think about it.
A little bit, yeah.
We traded one experimental drug gone wild for another.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Some of us were shooting up. Some of us were taking ivermectin. Some of us were taking both just in case.
Did you ever take ivermectin?
No, I did not take the horse pill. No, did you?
It's just because it's horses use it. Like whenever you eat sugar, you're like, oh, I'm eating the horse food.
No. It is a horse pill. I'm not saying horse pill non derogatory.
Me when I'm eating an apple. Dang, I'm really a horse RN. For real.
Honestly,
for real.
I do judge people who eat apples. I'm just kidding. I don't eat apples because my teeth are soft and I hate the crunch. I hate the crunch of an apple. We've talked about this before.
You
can't handle it.
The crunch
of an apple. I love the crunch of everything else. I can't take the of an apple.
Your teeth aren't soft.
My teeth are soft. They're little babies.
They can't be soft. Teeth are, by definition, bone.
I need veneers. I need, like, a grill, but, like, that's teeth, you know? And I need, like, fake teeth.
You can just have your teeth pulled out and have new teeth put in.
I know. I'm thinking about
better than
that.
Veneers. Yeah. That's what they used to do for dentistry back in the day before they had whatever they have now, is they would just knock your teeth out with, like, a billy club and some whiskey and... and then they would just put in wooden teeth, and that's how
the founder of our nation,
Ronald McDonald, got his smile.
I need to get this tooth out. I need to get this tooth out, and I need to get Invisalign or something. I don't know.
You need
something
to go to the dentist. You just got to go to the dentist.
I do go to the dentist, and they're never like it's a problem. You know, it's a cosmetic issue more than a medical issue.
So you need to go to an orthodontist.
Basically, I need to make enough money for cosmetic dentistry, and then two, get cosmetic dentistry. That's patreon.com/thecrunch. If you want my teeth to not look like having a fight in my mouth.
Every dollar over $10,000 a month goes directly into the cosmetic dentistry fund. You can help us get there.
Part of the problem of being the face of the podcast is that my face is out there more often than yours. This is correct, right?
Yeah. I mean, do you want me to supplant you as the face of the podcast?
Yes, I do, because I can't handle the criticism anymore. My little soft heart. Yes.
No, this is the one thing that I know about you. You were just talking to me, but nary 10 minutes ago about how you just push it down. If you look at the rock, you hit it with your motorcycle, and I drive great.
Yeah, no.
Where's that confidence now that we're live?
It's out the window. It's absolutely gone. No, someone made a comment about like my tooth is chipped, and it's not. It just looks that way because I have an extra one. And I was like, oh, do people think I have a chipped tooth? Like that's kind of, you know, like walking around with like permanently having something in your teeth, you know, like that's something that I'd like to fix.
I am going to go find that guy and I'm going to follow him and I'm just going to DM him the meanest thing that I can come up with based on what I see on his profile.
Honestly, every time I've been getting cyberbullied by some famous guy who just keeps commenting. You know who it is. Every time he comments on, I'm not going to say his name for the sake of, it doesn't matter. It was, okay, when you and I had a back and forth with him on the same day once.
I'm running through my mind palace trying to remember all the beefs I've gotten into.
He challenged both of us to a debate. And both of us are like, no, thank you. Yeah.
He's been cyberbullying you.
Anyway, he keeps commenting, and every time he comments, his followers get mean.
Right.
They just get mean.
Do.
And so last time he commented, I replied, lose my number with a little heart emoji.
Like, please stop talking to me.
Yeah. Like, please stop talking to me. I do not want to talk to you anymore. And so every time he responds, people are mean to me on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't think he's happy. Which is kind of the solace that I take is like, man, these people might be right. Like I might not have the best argument or the best defense for the Catholicism, or I might have made a stupid point or a bad joke, but at least I'm happy. You know?
Yeah.
And you, all signs point to the fact that you are not happy. And
One of my standard interlocutors on Twitter and I were DMing about this. He's a very anti-Catholic Protestant guy. He posted about how like Catholics. So he's like, some Catholics are like really mean to him on Twitter. I DM'd him. I was like, hey, like all seriousness, if I've ever crossed a line, just please let me know. I try to have fun. I try to keep it light. It's all for engagement.
It's all love, like, brother.
No, it's not. It's all for engagement. Very different. This is all for fun. I would not be doing this if I wasn't having fun. And he was like, no, I think like, he was like, the first interaction I ever had with this guy, he like responded. He was like, I don't agree with you, but I think that was really funny. I was like, yes, this is what we want. This is what we want. That's why I do it, folks. That's why.
I always said, kill him with kindness.
And I get sad.
No, don't get sad. Yeah. Just don't read the comments anymore.
That's a good point. Probably.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here to read the comments of reels that you don't even make to find you being the top comment. And then I get mad at what the guy responded to you.
Was that what happened? That's really funny.
That is what happened.
I don't even remember what reel that was.
I was just scrolling and I saw a reel and I was like, this is a stupid reel. And I opened it up and Patrick was the top comment. And the guy underneath it was like, get me on the podcast. And I was like, no.
No.
This is a stupid reel. You don't get to be on the podcast because you're a stupid reel. Anyway, I've got a list here of different little topics here. Up at the top, it says Joe Biden's skibbity toilet. underneath that, it says Crazy Frog Ice Spice. Which direction would you like to go in today?
I saw a clip of Skibbity Biden. I would like to know what Crazy Frog Ice Spice is. Is she still around? Is she still doing things?
Crazy Frog?
No, Ice Spice.
Ice Spice is up to something. I don't know what
it is. I'm sure she is.
There's this DJ on Instagram that I found named Nick Chang. I don't know how to say his name. Please forgive me. But it's Cheong. And he puts these like little... He's a proper DJ. He's not like a producer that then DJs to play his own songs. He's like a DJ who takes other people's songs and mixes them together in unique and exciting ways.
He kind of like takes the discs and he jockeys them around. Yeah.
And one of the tracks that I found... That was really, he did a Waka Flocka and Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, which is how I first found out about him. That one was really fun. Awesome. And then he did a Crazy Frog with Ice Spice. And I don't know the name of the Ice Spice song. It's Axel F, you know, the Crazy Frog song that everybody knows, despite Crazy Frog having multiple albums that I had all of them when I was a child. Don't laugh. Don't laugh.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. Ethan CD. Was a Cartoon Network kid. That's what Cartoon Network kids did.
What?
They had all the Crazy Frog albums.
That feels like when you say it like that, with that little tone in your voice, it makes it sound like a little slur that you're using.
No. Just say Ethan.
He was a CNK. What do you mean?
How many tech decks did you own?
How many tech decks did I own?
Yeah, how many Mighty Beans did you have?
I didn't know, but I didn't have knickknacks and like little toys.
How many pairs of DC sneakers did you own?
I didn't know. This is not, you're completely mischaracterizing me as a child.
Did you wear sweatshirts in the summer?
No. I don't know what you think.
I've gone into a completely different type of kid now.
Yes.
I
need you to think more. Have you seen the video of like the Crazy Frog brothers? Do you know what I'm talking about? This is old lore internet, old head internet stuff. But it's like a video of two kids in their basement listening to Crazy Frog. And they're both just like skinny white kids with glasses and they're brothers. And they just do like a funny dance where they like are kind of going crazy to the Crazy Frog song. That was me. I was that guy.
Nice.
I was a loser video game nerd boy.
RuneScape.
I was not World of Warcraft, which I also was on here on the list. We didn't have dial up, so I didn't play RuneScape, but what was I saying? I was defending myself. No, I was not like a skater kid weird. I didn't play with goop or slime.
Nice.
You know, like I didn't have those toys where you're like, you turn the aliens and you like fight, I didn't have the spy toys where you spy on your sister. I didn't have any of that. I just, you know, all we had was. I didn't have a sister. We had Legos and video games and Star Wars, and that was kind of my childhood, was like very much in the nerd sci-fi world.
We had PBS kids,
that's how I approached Crazy Frog, because the Crazy Frog video is of him riding like a hover bike running away from a robot cop in like a futuristic society.
Yes, I remember.
And it was
this.
EDM, so I liked it because it was electronic and it was dancey and it was woo, you know. So that's over there. But there is like it's a Venn diagram, right? Mm-hmm. All the skaters, when dubstep came up, me and those kids that you're talking about, we were all friends for a while.
And then we diverged again,
you know.
Yes.
So I was good friends with a guy who wore Osiris sneakers in college because we both liked Skrillex.
Yes. Yeah.
Osiris. Or not college, and like senior year of high school.
In the Melbourne area, or at least in Florida, it was the Halloween Horror Nights kids.
Mm-hmm,
like that Cartoon Network, Halloween Horror Nights, Burger King. Like that was, again, Burger King. Seriously.
Yeah.
But I was a Disney Channel, Nickelodeon, barely.
I think we can make like a 9-tiered Venn diagram, and like we need to figure out a way to make the middle point Crazy Frog somehow. Like there's got to be a way. There's something. Maybe it's not Crazy Frog.
3D animators.
There's something that all of us shared. Because whether you were like a Disney Channel, you know, cream puff normie kind of kid, or like a Nickelodeon Gibby person, or like a Cartoon Network like over here, or a PBS person over here. VeggieTales, like there's all kinds of different homeschooled. There's all kinds of different kids. Maybe just no TV at all.
We should
movie
make a
kid.
Yeah,
watch I'm South Park kid, film. South Park and Family Guy kids. Like there's all kinds of different kids, and we were all maybe it's 9/11 is the middle.
The middle is the middle.
Or it's
is
like,
forever.
Or it's like Barack Obama's first term. Something where it's just like we're all here. We all remember this.
We should make a coexist bumper sticker, but like the E is Crazy Frog Head.
Oh, I might put. I'm gonna see if I can get Emma to drive because we have a 5-hour drive tomorrow. I'm gonna see if I can get Emma to drive, and I'm gonna sit in the back with Peter, and we're gonna scheme. We're gonna workshop the 9-layered Venn diagram of all the
you
different types
Peter
of kid.
You and Peter are gonna figure it out.
Me and Peter are gonna figure it out. He's my muse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, is one of you like always in the back with Peter?
For long drives, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's probably a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so go follow. I'll put a link in the description because I sent it to Ryan. Ryan will put a link in the description of this clip of the Ice Spice and the Crazy Frog because it really does go off, as the kids say.
I'm excited. I will say. I am sorry for mischaracterizing you as a scene skater, depressed kid.
Yeah, no. I was adjacent, but I was not.
You definitely weren't at all. But I do like thinking about the types of guys. And I think we could do another tier list.
Yeah.
Where we rank the guys in middle school. Like the guy.
Yeah. We're dangerously close to the yard. They did a whole episode where they did a tier list for the types of guy.
Oh, so, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. But we could,
but
I mean, if we did types of kids.
Different enough. Types of
kids.
Did, yeah.
As long as it wasn't like weird.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, no. It's the kids in tier list for the kids in middle school.
We would need to title it such that aspiring pedophiles could not find it for research.
Yes. Important.
Very important. Especially on a Catholic podcast.
Yeah. Dude, the.
What's up?
Family Guy, South Park kids. I wonder what they're up to now.
Those kids scared me.
Yeah,
I lack of respect for rules. Their mom is like prays before dinner, and they're downstairs watching the most heinous Adult Swim cartoon known to man. And you're like,
insane.
What is happening? I thought I enjoyed sitting next to you playing the recorder, and now we're watching Moral Oral, and it's scaring me because I don't like claymation. It's freaking me out. We have to watch Robot Chicken. I don't want to know anything about the Robot Chicken. I want to watch Dexter's Lab.
Yes. It was a short little line in Bo Burnham's Inside when he's talking about when he's canceled song, that one, where he just briefly mentions like
it, so I don't know what
going to it was good. It was like the moment for millennials. Like it was every millennial was like, this is me. I get it. Anyway, so he has like a little line about how Pee-wee, he's been criticized for his comedy in the past. He says very offensive things in his past comedy. And so he did this little line where he talks about how, like, I would go to church on Sunday with my family. When I was 14, I'd go to church on Sunday with my family, and then I would go home and watch Family Guy. And it's like this this kind of, you know, that was my education. That was his education growing up. He was like this dichotomy of, like, going from a very pure and good thing into a world where there are things that are sacred, into a world where we make fun of everybody. There's nothing sacred. No holds barred. You know, I have not barred any hold in this show. And now it's just like, that's every cartoon for someone that's older than 13 is one of those comedy shows. It's like, no holds barred animated sitcom. It's like, okay.
Yeah. I think those are going by the wayside, though.
That Daily Wire Plus is doing one, I think they're starting. They announced that, and then Family Guy got sent to half season. It's like, yeah, we're done.
It's over.
It started becoming kind of boomery.
Smell the decay, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the scene in The Big Short where they go talk to the mortgage lenders, but it's like us going to talk to animators at Fox.
Yes, it's like it's starting to get.
We only make episodes for half a season. We used to have to do a whole season. Now we only do half. Why are they confessing? They're not confessing. They're bragging.
Oh man, it's no. It's like how it's going the same direction as late night talk shows, where eventually someone at EWTN is going to be like, you know what we should do? What if we did an adult animated show, but it's Catholic?
I think,
you know,
five or 10 years away from EWTN waking up to the fact that they're 30 years behind again.
Oh my gosh. Another, I love when I like log on to Twitter and I see someone else like, we're doing a Catholic talk show. And it's like, oh, golly, a late night show. Are you having like celebrity guests on live audience?
Just like my friends. We're going to talk about like the Catholic faith, but like through the lens of humor, you know, is kind of what we're going for.
Oh. It's like, okay, so you're doing like a talk show, like a late night talk show, but it has no elements of a late night talk show, and also no one watches late night talk shows anymore.
Emma and I recently watched the most recent Conan O'Brien travel special. It was like four episodes.
Sure. Yeah.
Phenomenal. It is so hard. There were things that I was just like sitting there. You know how when someone makes a good joke, you're just like, that's really funny. I just did that so many times where Conan would just have the most like, he would pull people from the streets in wherever he was, Sweden. And these are the most like flat, unemotional people known to man.
He's
just, and he's just the, he finds, he like digs and he digs and he digs and he finds the nugget. And once he grabs it, he's just there and he just holds on. Like, even if someone's giving him nothing, like, there's a guy giving him one word answers. It, like, by all accounts, this would be a very boring interview, but he just, it's masterful. So it's like funny to watch from a perspective. It's like, I'm someone who tried to interview people like Man on the Street style before. It's really hard to get people say something that's funny.
Oh yeah. You know?
And like, and then to be funny yourself if they're not being cooperative. And he just, and then he does like these little bits, you know, like these little asides, and they're just, there was one scene where he was in somewhere around there. I think it was Thailand. And he was having this special garb made for him, like this special ceremonial Thai garb. And it's like the most famous dressmaker in all of whatever city, Bangkok. And, they finish it and he comes out, right? And they're all like looking at him. There's like three ladies there. And he goes, "Yeah, I think this looks pretty good. I feel like a man who could take on the whole city. A man who belongs in Bangkok. A man who is very far from home." And he did that for like 7 minutes.
That's funny.
And he just wouldn't stop, and it just kept cutting to the woman who like made the outfit. And she's like looking to the cameras, like, and she's getting more and more annoyed, and he just won't stop. And it's so funny. He like goes so much further than you should go, and like past the point of like, this is annoying, all the way back around to it's funny again. And it's just, it's so good to see someone so old be so funny. Because it's
just...
You don't see it anymore. I highly encourage... If you have Max, HBO, watch it. It's like four episodes. It's so... Emma liked it. I liked it. Something for anyone. But I don't know what made me think of that. Probably we were talking about late night shows. But I think that format of the travelogue, especially with someone like Conan, is so good. It was amazing.
We got to do... We gotta get John on the travel log. We gotta get John Bosco Donahue.
I just don't know if John
travel.
Would be funny. He's interesting, but I don't know if he's got that humor bone.
I think he's funny enough.
You
think
so? I haven't watched enough of his. All I see from him are freaking Halo ads. It's like, dude, I get that you can make money now, but can you make something that's not an ad?
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Ethan, I'm upset with you.
What did I do?
You got a free book in the mail, and then you read me the back of it, and I wanted to read it. But I don't have it.
Oh, just another way that I'm smarter than you and have more books.
Thank you. We have a sponsor. We have an author sponsored our podcast. A friend of Ethan wrote a book.
His name is Alec Molly, and his book, Out of Suns, you can find it on Amazon.com. Look up Out of Suns by Alec Molly. And I did get it in the mail, and you didn't. And I think that's just because intuitively people know that I read and you don't.
That is the reputation probably that I've developed for myself as someone who doesn't read. Ew, yucky.
Yeah, and you definitely don't read books about two brothers that are going across the country together and wrestling with their faith in God and growing in friendship all because of a woman. That's not the type of thing that you...
You read the back cover, and I am a sucker for these kinds of journey to a destination and a subversion
coming
of
age.
The expectation. Yeah, sort of. Yeah, yeah, like a big transformative experience. You read that to me, and I was like, I love it. Also, I love stories about love, not working out. And guys, it's good.
This is a story written by a young man trying to deal with the modern world for young men. Told me this is the book that he wished he would have had when he was in college, getting ready to marry his wife and all of these things, going into grad school. So read Out of Suns. It's aimed at the boys, but I think the ladies could also benefit a lot from this book. If you got a boy in your life, go to Amazon.com, look up Out of Suns by Alec Molly, buy it, and there's no way to tell him that we sent you, but I think he will know because there's tons of orders coming in because you're all going to buy it. Patrick.
He'll know in his heart.
Yes, and maybe one day you'll learn how to read.
Thanks, back Alec Molly. That's M-A-L-L-Y.
M-A-L-Y.
M-A-L-Y.
A-L-E-C-M-A-L-Y.
Yes, look up Alec Molly on Amazon. Thank you, Alec, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
Back to the episode.
Fine, I get it. They're doing Halo ads. Halo's spending ads on influencers anymore, and they haven't called us. We get it.
I don't care about them calling me. I just want John to make something that's not an ad. This is my plea to John Donahue. Just make something.
It takes him so long to make one of his amazing videos. He just spends so much time on it. You know?
I know.
They better be paying him so much money.
So much money. Yeah.
So much
money.
I bet they are. Because he's just killing it.
He's the best in the game at doing that particular thing.
That particular thing.
Yeah.
Man. Anyway.
So Joe Biden's skibbity toilet.
For those of you who haven't seen, our audience might not even know what skibbity toilet is.
Do I have to explain skibbity toilet?
No, we can just play it. Ryan, roll the clip.
What the heck is going on?
So they did Skibbity Biden, which went exactly as you might imagine.
Dude, so we were just talking
about
Conan.
Why do they keep doing it?
Can I say something very interesting? Conan and Stephen Colbert, to me, feel like two sides of the Catholic, of the fallen away Catholic coin.
Yes.
Right? So Conan, fallen away Catholic, 100% Irish, has maintained his desire for truth in comedy amidst probably being asked to sell out all the time, but just doesn't because he values the joke more than he values anything else. Stephen Colbert, also similarly fallen away Catholic, has completely given in to the being sold out, abandoning all humor and all jokes.
Yes.
It's fascinating that these two men, two of the probably most famous men in America with some of the biggest platforms in terms of like eyeballs on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
It's like Kimmel, Fallon, you know, Colbert, those two. There's like a Catholic presence there that's like not hostile to Catholicism, you know, but yet has managed to either turn their upbringing and their like experience with faith into either something really funny or something extremely unfunny, which I find to be fascinating. I don't know how Stephen Colbert did it. I don't know how he went from being funny to being probably the worst. The whole problem with the Skibbity Biden meme is that it doesn't make any sense. It's like a shoehorned in reference.
Yes,
they get the video wrong. They get the music wrong. Like everything about the reference is like someone's approximation of what the thing is. Like it'd be like if I had never seen, I don't know. It's like when Patrick talks about Jordan Peterson, like he just doesn't know. And so he's like trying to get
there. I read
his
book. I don't understand why I have to watch all of his podcasts forever in order for me to comment on him.
I
read
the
thing that he published. That's my reference for Jordan Bieberson.
I was just making a joke.
They keep doing it. They did Hillary Clinton dabbing on Ellen.
Yeah.
The Pokemon Go to the polls. Dude, hold on. When Buffalo Wild Wings came out with
Buffalo Wild Wings Go.
I looked at Vivi and I went, why don't they Buffalo Wild Wings go to the polls?
They have Buffalo Wild Wings Go? They have an app for Buffalo Wild Wings?
Yeah, it's delivery and takeout.
Can I play the bar games from the comfort of my own home? Because that would be worth it if I could download the app.
I think you can. It's called an iPhone. They've always had it. It's always existed. Just had the honey barbecue and Parmesan garlic bone in.
It was just horrendous because it made me sad. Like, that's why I wanted to bring it up, is like it makes me sad, one, when someone has all the money and all the resources in the world to be funny and they waste it, right?
They decide not to
which is tragic, especially when it's about something that's like close to home. You know, this is like when they would do the Harlem Shake on morning TV.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you doing?
Stop.
You're getting it wrong, you know? And then Skibbity Toilet.
This
is
cultural appropriation.
I thought Skibbity Toilet was safe because it's like too weird. It's too out there. It's like Eastern European guy making animations with a software from 25 years ago about toilets, you know, that eventually turns into like an
co-op this.
That eventually turns into an anime-esque like ongoing series about with increasing power levels and whatnot. Like, it's basically an anime because every episode ends on like a cliffhanger and they're like, you know, what's going to happen next? And they turn in. So
I was unaware that it was it was a serial sort of episode.
Dude, there's 70 episodes.
Oh man, you could really get lost in this thing, huh? Are kids especially just watching this?
I don't think kids are just watching it. I think it's like, it certainly has its fans amongst the youngsters, but I don't think it's like, the problem is that because the main show by the one guy got so big, there's tons of other imitators. And so I think there's lots of kids that watch a lot of the imitation stuff, and they come up with all the different, they like bring back characters from the main show in the imitation shows. And because it's all animated and everybody has access to Source, you know, or, and Gary's Mod, you can just make it as close as you want to if you want to spend the time. And so there's all kinds of, so you can just find yourself in the Skibidi Toilet world.
And you could really get lost in the, you could really get lost there.
Lost in the sauce. Yeah.
Makes sense. But I don't know why, like, who is that for? Because there's no way, there's no way that, like, there's enough people are, there's no way the Biden vote is going to get swung by Skibidi Biden. The only reason to do something is for personal gain. There's
the other thing. Sorry.
The only reason to do something like this is for personal gain. So who benefits? Because let's say that it worked and all the kids were like, we love this. This is the best thing ever. How many people who are of voting age and also young enough to understand Skibidi Toilet and are watching Stephen Colbert? That Venn diagram is three circles. It's not, yes, it's not touching.
And the problem is that they made Biden the toilet. And the toilets are the bad guys in the show.
Are the bad guys.
Yeah. They're the bad guys. It'd be like if you made a Breaking Bad skit or something and you made Biden Hector Salamanca, like the evil drug lord, you know, who's like infirm in a wheelchair. It's like, oh, we put him in the show. It's like, well, you made him one of the worst guys in the show. Yeah.
You should have made him Walter Jr.
The guy with the cerebral palsy?
Yes, the salty skin.
The salty skin. That's true. I know that.
It's a callback to another episode of ours.
Indeed.
Where I downplayed the severity of cerebral palsy.
No, I thought it was cystic fibrosis.
Oh, it was cystic fibrosis.
Yeah, it's a different thing. But it's just, it's they're undermining their own thing, which in theory is like good for me. So it's like, great, they're making Biden look stupid. I should be happy about that. But all it does is make me mad. Because if you're going to do propaganda, at least do it right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do it like the Israelis.
You want to elaborate?
No. I'm gonna sit there. Let's just sit with that one.
I don't have too much more to say about the Skibidi Biden thing, but it just, it really
it seems like it really affects you.
It does.
I'm sorry this happened to you.
No, it does. Like, as someone who creates content, not as much as you, but I create some content. I like to be creative.
I just make sludge.
You make slop for the trough.
I make,
and that's
slop
fine
for the trough.
The piggies have to eat. But do they not have anyone on their staff? Like, that's just what you realize, that these places are anchored by, like, a couple people that make the decisions, you know?
Yes, of
so
course.
If no one there is under the age of 25, they would have no one there to fact check it. There's like no one there to verify, like, oh yeah, this makes sense. This is coherent with like the world's understanding of what this is.
Yeah.
But maybe they just don't care. It feels like more and more they're just flaunting that they just don't care. Like, they don't care about the average person.
Mm.
You know?
Perhaps that's what it is. Perhaps they benefit by showing us that they don't, that we can take everything from you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you consider to be sacred, your Skibidi toilets, your crazy frogs, we're coming for them. We're doing crazy Barack Obama next. Back in time, and we're inserting
this
that in 2008.
This is tied in with something else that I saw, where they have, I don't know if you've seen that the admiral that's, I think, on the cabinet for Biden's administration, or maybe the chief of staff, but it's a guy who is presenting as a trans woman. He's a trans lady. I still don't know exactly how to say it, so I apologize if I've hurt anyone's feelings, but he's a guy who says he's a woman. And he's talking about how the biggest threat to America, to our country's safety, is climate change. And it's just this like really odd video of like someone who's an admiral in the Navy,
mm-hmm,
who is living a delusion that's being enabled by everyone around them, who's talking about something that's just objectively like not true. Like, the biggest threat to America is not climate change. You know, it's any number of other things that are like, people can't afford houses, can't afford groceries.
By definition, it's not an immediate threat.
Right. People are losing their jobs. There are people that are being killed by migrants. There are people that are migrating here that don't have a place to live and don't have places to work. Like, there's a number of issues. And so to have like this cacophony of like things that set off signals in your brain that's like, this isn't right, this isn't right, this doesn't make any sense, and have that just be shown to the world by the United States government really reinforces the fact that like whoever's in charge, whether it's the people at NBC that run Colbert or the people who run, you know, the government, they just really, they either hate us or they just really don't care. Which is,
I wager the second thing.
Yeah.
I am of my firm and unwavering opinion is everyone is acting out of their own self-interest. They only say things because they know they will play well. Yeah. If, and I, you have to believe this is true or you are delusional.
I am.
If it was unpopular to say that climate change was dangerous,
they would not have said it.
Yeah. If it was popular to say that immigration reform is necessary and we need to make sure that people that are dangerous are not coming into our country, if that was an overwhelmingly positive opinion and people agreed with it, they would have said that instead. Mm-hmm. People will say whatever it takes to stay in power, and that is my opinion. And so I think it's nice if you go into speeches and news clips like that, you can kind of go, oh, okay, cool, this qui bono, right? Or qui bone? I don't know. Who's qui bono? Who's benefiting? That's the question that you got to ask. Who benefits from this person saying that? That's the do your own research is not the right way to say it, because do your own research is like, go look at a bunch of propaganda and see which one you agree with the most. You know, it's like that's the problem with do your own research. Ask yourself the question, who benefits from this?
This is interesting because in the pro-life world, I have to write like a lot of articles and like respond to news stuff that comes out, like Louisiana state house just passed a bill that put the abortion pill on the like dangerous controlled drugs Schedule 4, whatever the thing is, like they put it on that, which is great because it means that it's illegal to get it without a prescription, which is good, right? And because it's a very serious drug that puts 1 in 25 women in the hospital, according to the label. It's not even like a study outside. It's like you have a 1 in 25% chance of severe bleeding that will result in hospitalization if you take this pill. So it's just like, I don't know. It's just not very safe. And the FDA changed the regulation, so now women can take the abortion pill in the privacy of their own home. So you
imagine
don't have to take
it. Imagine if 1 in 25 people who took Tylenol were hospitalized. Right.
Yes.
Actually, that happened once and Tylenol shut down. That was crazy.
So I'm like, I'm reading all these things and you read it's like, it's not even pro-life sources that put these things out. It's the FDA is saying this is what the risks of the drug are.
Yes.
And then I see articles, like I'm looking for things to write about or looking for the counter arguments or whatever. And you see things like spurious, anti-abortion studies cite dangers of mifepristone and misoprostol. You know, it's like back, I don't know, before I was more in this world, I would read that and be like, oh man, it sucks that the pro-lifers are using spurious studies. Like that was my mental was like, I agree with the pro-life, but man, I wish they could find better studies so that it was more rock solid. And then like the more that you are in this, like in the trenches, you realize, oh, it doesn't matter how good the studies are. It doesn't matter how correct you are.
Because no one's going to read them.
Because no one's going to read them. And even if they do read them, they're still going to say spurious and questionable studies, regardless of what the truth is. It's like it's all propaganda, all of it. Which is why then I think the interesting thing about being a Christian then in the world is like, okay, we have the opportunity to do things that aren't in our own self-interest as like a counter signal to the world. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of scary because that's just so obviously how no one else operates.
This is the problem with running your worldview off of a posteriori, like arguments.
Why are you talking about pasta?
A posteriori. it's a common belief nowadays that you have to, like, contraception is wrong because it contributes to a higher divorce rate. something is wrong because it has this negative outcome. It's like consequentialism, mm-hmm. right? It's
right.
We can tell by experience, and this is how.
I shouldn't tweet about Mary because people will blaspheme.
Yes, that, you know, like that's a serious question that we all consider. But really, we should. God has asked us to use the revelation He's given us to come up with moral principles and laws that can guide our thinking so that we don't have to wait for the consequences of our actions to figure out if it was good or not. Because if we right. just do what He says, we won't have these negative consequences. Like, yeah, it turns out that if you take an abortifacient pill, you could end up in the hospital and a bunch of people are going to be harmed by this. We could have avoided that by just like by obeying our consciences and the law of God and just not doing it in the first place. And so that's why I don't like, there's a trend in Catholic circles and spheres to like, we got to cite the studies and like Catholic marriages are statistically happier. That actually doesn't matter.
No.
It's true, but it doesn't matter at the end of the day. The Catholic yeah. church teaching is true because it's true. End of discussion. Repent and yes. submit.
Yes. Like if the... I'm trying to think of a good way to maybe phrase it differently. Like if you put a flower...
Harsh?
No, you're correct. If you put a flower outside in the sun and the sun causes the flower to grow, you don't need a study testing a bunch of different flowers to prove that the sun is good for flowers. It's you know, just, like you just, yeah. just put the flowers outside in the sun. So it's the same with these other things. Like you don't need to study the benefits or the results of certain things. You just have to like, we don't need a sociological proof that going to church every Sunday is better for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, but that is how we're raised to think, you know, if you're growing up in the public school system, it's a, you know, only it goes back to the self-interest thing. Like only do things that have a benefit. Like you can, a lot of people find their source of purpose and they're much more high achieving and they're more successful in business because they're part of a church community and that would be good for you. It's like, no, you should go to church every Sunday because that's what God commanded you to do.
Kids who play an instrument do better in math.
Right.
I heard that all that's the time funny. Growing up and yeah. people would talk about the argument for the arts and the arts teachers would talk about how kids do better in math and science when they play an instrument. And I was like, you guys are playing into their hands, by the way, by admitting that those things are more important than the arts. Just saying.
That's funny.
It's yeah. You guys are just admitting.
No, please play the saxophone. It'll make you good at physics. Shut up.
No, just play the saxophone because it's
just play
good
the saxophone
because
it's cool and it goes.
And it's fun. Careless whisper of a good friend. Sometimes Leo and I play that song. He likes it when I pretend to play the saxophone with his little Legos.
Peter likes it when I play the Hixie remix of Fly Away by Visa.
Nice.
And he gets on my shoulders and he goes like this. It's really funny.
Phoebe got a yoga ball for her pregnancy, which means Leo and I got a yoga ball. And and so we've been playing on that thing.
Dude, it's so funny to put a baby on a yoga ball and just kind of like bounce them and roll them because they have no control. So you just kind of spin them around and yeah.
And you hold it still. So they climb up. And then when without you, they try to climb and they like get up a little bit and roll over and they fall
over.
And hit their head.
Yeah. It's yeah. Or you just like sit them upright and you just kind of bounce them like this. Oh, man.
Oh, it's so good. Dude.
It's so fun. Well,
statistically, if you have a yoga ball, your happiness increases by 89%. So
my happiness hasn't been increasing by 89% because I've been playing World of Warcraft with my brothers and it's really,
we
been...
didn't get to the World of Warcraft thing. Do you want to talk
no,
about
it? No, it's just
quick?
Like a little, it's just like a little funny thing. So I was doing something in game where, so my brother Ryan is a lower level than me and my brother Alex.
Yes. We talked about this in the bonus pod.
So that means that sometimes I do things for him. Like, oh, let me just get these items for you or like let me sell that so that you don't have to worry about it. So like I'm doing things because he has to do other things, right? And so so I was gonna like sell some stuff in game for him And I said on the voice chat, I was like, and don't worry, Ryan, you'll get a piece. And he instantly knew what I meant. He instantly knew that like I was going to go take care of this thing and I was going to cut him a little check. Like I was going to send him, I was going to give him a rebate. And Alex went, what does that mean? What do you mean he's going to get a piece of what? And then me and for the rest of the time, me and Ryan were like, and Ryan gets a piece. Alex doesn't get a piece. It was just, it was so funny. So now, so now I'm like going about my day and I'm like, oh, time to eat some lunch. Ryan gets a piece. Like I'm cutting off a little piece of my pork chop. Like Ryan gets a piece.
Alex doesn't get a piece.
Alex doesn't get a piece. Dude, that's so just, it makes me, I love doing that stuff because then you, you create these little like things. That's the beauty of like the gaming session is you create these little things that exist in this 2-hour bubble that like can't exist anywhere else. You know, like nowhere else would we be able to come up with like, Alex doesn't get a
Ryan
piece.
Gets, Alex gets
Ryan gets a piece. You know, like, and then that just is there and it might not even come up in the next session. Like we might, there's a new thing the next time we play. That's also the beauty of podcasting. It's like we would have a joke in a podcast talking about Crazy Frog and Ice Spice and whatever else that like, we're not going to talk about that again next week. You know, so it's just this like beautiful little thing that we get to create. I love creating these little moments.
It's great when we have little jokes and people bring them up outside the podcast. And I'm like, I don't remember saying that, but that sounds hilarious. Yeah.
Another, one more real life example. I went to play volleyball with my friends and it was like a bunch of families. It was like guys and girls. And the girls wanted to do boys versus girls, right? And so I go up and I'm like, if you lose, you don't get to vote no more. And some of the women that were there know me better.
Yeah.
And so they were like, oh, Ethan, whatever. But some of the girls that were there like don't know me as well. And they were like, huh? And I was
dude.
I was like, do you know who the county commissioner is?
He's Freemason. So you got to watch that guy.
So think about that. So I think it's, and then, but that's funny because then that was the joke for the whole time. It was like the guys were like, we're going to take away the women's right to vote. Like when we win,
ooh, they don't get to vote anymore. Closer to losing
and then
women's
it's over. And then it's over and everyone's like, and then you forget about that like little joke that existed in that moment and you move on with your life. It's just, I think life is so great. I love it. I love these little things that we get to create.
I don't want to die.
You don't have to.
Really?
No, that's the cool thing about Christ.
There you go. So good.
Based. All right. We got to do a dating podcast.
Oh, boy. I'm so excited. Well, yeah. Tune in on Wednesday for the dating podcast. Enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day weekend. We'll see you on Wednesday. And then I'm going to a wedding this weekend. So that's going to be fun.
We are on the road to 200 patrons. So if you've been listening to this show and you like what we have to offer and you want to give something back, so that Patrick can get corrective dentistry. That's patreon.com/thecrunch. If you join at $10 a month, you get a bonus show that we do once a week, every week, forever. There's like 75 of them now, I think. So that's 75 extra hours of content that you get instantly for $10. So it's a pretty good deal. You don't want to miss it. And then we'll probably do when Biden and Trump have their debate in June, we're going to do a live stream.
I don't want to do that.
I will do it on my own.
I just don't want to do it. I'll just get upset.
It'll be fun. No, don't get upset. You got to view it as, it's propaganda. It's spectacle. It's fun.
I also don't know enough about the issues.
You don't.
Are they still building a gas line or something?
That makes you the perfect person to watch the debate.
Good point, actually.
Because that's who the debate is for, is someone who doesn't know the issues. Because they're going to tune in.
Oh.
They're going to tune in. Did you think that these were going to be intense intellectual debates with a lot of rhetoric and cogent points? No, this is going to be
sources.
This is going to be the WWE SmackDown of politics.
It's your uncle, it's your grandpa and your other grandpa yelling at Thanksgiving. That's what it is.
Amazing. I'm so excited.
So good.
All right. Patreon.com/thecrunch, road to 200 patrons. We're at like 116. So I thank you for the couple of people that are joining the last week. Let's get that to 120, and then we'll be 80 away. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
I have an extra tooth. All that means is there's more of me to love.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you, and we will see you all next time.
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.